Okay, is Sir Benny with us? Can he give us his magic hadracha?
Perek Dalet, Mishnah Zayin.
Today's Mishnah in the Masechet Negayim is Perek Dalet, Mishnah Zayin. Wow, really getting ahead over here, but we're getting into the harder stuff. So, we've been talking about cases where we have two simanim and the relationship of the one siman to the nega when the two simanim were originally interrelated. So we talked about the machlokas, about what would be the din if we had ser lavan inside of a michya, and whether the hafach lavan, the michya, can also be part of the cheshbon for hafach lavan. According to Rabbi Akiva, it cannot. According to the Rabbanan, it can. According to Rabbi Akiva, it cannot. In two very different ways, it cannot. First of all, if the nega actually flipped colors while it was in the michya, then that doesn't count because it has to be the nega. That is to say, the color of the baharet has to flip the seyar. And even in a case where it was actually in the area of the baharet, but the area of the baharet included in the shear of kegris, included the michyas basar chai, you cannot even include a michya as part of a nega that is mahapech seyar lavan. Tremendous chiddush. Now, let's imagine the same issue where we have two simonim, but in this case, the two simonim are a michya and a pisyon, not a michya and a seyar lavan. So, baheret. We have a baheret that has in it a michya, and it also, at the end of Shiva's Yomei Hesker, it was also found larger than it had been before. And then the michya disappears. Doesn't matter, because even though it no longer has a michya's basar chai, but it was muzgar before, and there was a simen of spreading, so the spreading remains. And therefore, it remains tame because of the pisyon. Now, suppose the pisyon went away. Now it's the way it was originally at the beginning when it presented. But it still has the michya. Obviously, it's still going to be tamea mipnei hamichya, even though the pisyon disappeared. You know, it's okay, now the pisyon disappeared, now we can be metayer. It doesn't lose its original din because of the fact that it's improved. So it's still going to be tamea mipnei hamichya. The same thing would be true if we have a seyar lavan and a pisyon. If the seyar lavan disappeared, so what? It was still poseh. If the pisyon disappeared, so what? It still has in it seyar lavan. And here, of course, we're talking about where we had the necessary shear, and the seyar lavan was in the area that Rabbi Akiva would be made at, that it's considered to be a hafach lavan because of the nega. So we're not getting into that issue over here. Now the question is, what about other kinds of changes? Because over here, the change, okay, I understand that the improvement in a nega by the removal of one of its simanei tuma is not considered to be a relevant improvement in terms of the halacha, as long as there's one siman of tuma that's left. But there are definitely improvements that can make a difference. And that could be changes in the depth of coloration. So over there, how about if it went from a baheret kasheleg and it went all the way down to a krum beitza? So it went from maximal number 4 coloration and it went down to number 1 coloration. How about that? Or how about if the place of the nega effectively changes because of the change in the pisyon? In other words, what might happen is that the pisyon doesn't go away, but maybe the om goes away, still leaving a nega of the correct size, but now it's in a new place, essentially, because only the new area is still a color of a nega, but the original area of the om is not the color of the nega. And if we look at that original area, it would still be looking to the coin like, oh, so the nega went away. So now let's talk about that kind of thing. So let's say there were changes that take place within the Shavua of Hezker. Now, I must warn you that there are many different approaches to this Mishnah because there's going to be a lot of problems of defining precisely when this happened. So we'll take the Rav's approach to the Mishnayos that are coming up. So now suppose the Nega went away during the Shavua Hezker, and then it comes back at the end of the Shavua Hezker. And the question is whether the fact that it went away and came back, does that make it a new Nega? No. Harehi kamot shahaita. The bottom line for us is that even though it had completely disappeared, since it comes back exactly where it was, and since the definition of the Nega is only at the moment that we make that psak at the end of Hezker, so what do we care what happened in between? Even if the Kohen sees this happening, it shouldn't make any kind of difference. At this point, I'm looking at the Nega, and the comparison of the Nega is with the onset of Hezker and the conclusion of Hezker, not with happens to be that the Kohen noted changes that would not have been able to make a difference lahalacha because it was not the time of the Ra'ah HaKohen. Fine. How about if the Kohen already had said, he looks at it, it's the end of Hezker, the Nega had disappeared, the Kohen says it's Tahar, and now it comes back. Well, coming back is not the same as saying that the Nega was Tahar because the Simen Tuma had gone away. There, if the Simen Tuma comes back after the Kohen says that it's Tahar, it's immediately metame, remember? Unless he actually went through the process of taira. So that's if it's chozer la'achar haptur. But in this case, there was no simen tuma. In this case, there was no nega. Now it's the nega that's come back. If a nega comes back after the kohen says it's potter, then if it comes back, it's a new nega. And you have to start over again. So you treat it teira ekatchila, you treat it like a new nega, it needs hezger again, and so on. So even if it's at exactly the same place where it was before, that wouldn't matter to us. Also, if there's a change in coloration. So suppose originally it was Aza Keshelek. So it was very Aza. And at the end, it's now Keha, or vice versa. Maybe it got worse. Maybe it was originally Kikrum Beitza, and now it's Aza Keshelek. Makes absolutely no difference. As we saw originally when we began learning about the Maros Negoyim, all of the Maros Negoyim are considered to be the same, and they don't make a difference to us in either direction. So that we can ignore, and now we put it back into the next week of Hezger, because he still has the Nega. But how about if it goes down to a Mara of Lavan that is lower than stage one Nega? So if it gets to be less white than the top four maros that we defined, so at that point, it's not saras at all. So if it goes down to be less than krum beitza, it's not considered to be saras. It's just a mark on the skin. And therefore, at that point, it is considered to be tahar. Now, what about if the size changes? So at what point do we measure the pision? In other words, let's imagine a case is like this. The nega was, let's first take a case where it was precisely the size of a kigris. And it was kansa, which means that now it drew into itself. And then by the end of the Shavua of Hezker, it went back to the original size. Or what about if it actually was posa? So there was a pisayon in the middle of the week. And then by the end of the week, it's now the same size that it was. So it was pasta vikansa. So Rabbi Akiva says that in this case, where first it was smaller and then it was posa, even though the pisayon doesn't make it larger than it was originally, and you would have thought that pisayon is measured precisely the way the colorations were measured and everything else. We look at the beginning of the 7 days, and we look at the end of the 7 days. The question of whether, so again, when is this taking place is big machlokas in over here. I mean, there's some that say it's taking place now that the Kohen is looking at it and watching the pisayon. Or some saying it's taking place only after Taira. As I said, we're going to be going according to the Pirush of the Rav, and that's basically like the Rambam. And we're talking about over here to the change comes back to which it was before the end of the process where the Kohen is going to say what it is. But, I mean, the question of if it wasn't now at the end of the time, it wasn't at the moment that the Kohen has to paskin. So Rabbi Akiva is not going to tell you, according to the Moshe Mefarshim, that you need to worry about things that were going on in the middle of Hezker. Had not. So here it's the end of the week. And what we note is what is essentially a pisayon, even though we can't compare it to the original, whereas the Chachomim say, no, pisayon has to be measured by the precise difference between the opening of Hezker and the closing of Hezker. And the fact that I watch it spreading back to its original size is not going to make the slightest bit of difference. How big is it now? Now, comes along Perek Arba Mishnah Chet to get into yet a more complex issue. And that is, we have a case of a pisyon, but we also have no change in the size. How is that? Well, you start off, let's say, with a Baheret, which is a kegris. And there was a pisyon. The pisyon was a chatzi gris, let's say, to the right hand of the original nega. But now, the original om, that's the word for the original nega is the om shrinks on the other side, on the left side, by exactly the same amount that it was supposed on the right side. It's amazing how the Mishnah manages to like get you to think, you know, it's like those, like they say, just when you thought it was safe. Oh gosh, I hadn't thought about that one, right? Okay, so just as you thought you had covered all of your bases, no. Now you've got to deal with another issue. Does the nega have to be in the same place exactly in order to be the same nega, or do we need to start over again? So this beautiful question. So now it was holach mina om kachatzi gris. So now Rabbi Akiva is Dafke, the one who says that this is a different nega, because once it shrank, it is no longer a nega. And that's what, you take a look at the om first, right? Now you're saying, okay, but I do have a nega between the area of the pisyon and the area of the half of the om that's left. I still have a nega the size of a kegris. It doesn't matter, because a tsiruf of the original nega with the pisyon of the original nega is a new nega. So I have to start over again. And in this case, even though before Rabbi Akiva said, what's the difference if it became bigger and then it went smaller again and so on, that's because it didn't change its location. In other words, ultimately, the nega that I'm paskening in the Mishnah we had before, the reason Rabbi Akiva says it's tummy is because the nega is the same nega in the same place. But if it changes its place, so we can no longer say, okay, but part of the nega is in its place, that doesn't matter. So the location, you know what they say in real estate. In Negoyim, Rabbi Akiva says the same thing. It's all about location, location, location. Therefore, we start all over again. Where according to the Chachamim are metarim, because the idea of here, by the way, remember metarim, the way we've been using it in this parak, metarim doesn't mean that the Kohen says it's tar. It means that he says, let's continue. So if it was at the end of the first Hezker, he'll say, let's do a second Hezker. If it's the end of the second Hezker, then it means metarim, because there hasn't been any change. So metarim would mean literally over there, metarim.